Right. So basically, this idea of love is so central, as we all know, to all spiritual traditions, you know, to all practices relating to, you know, just interconnection and healing. And the ideas I wanted to really spend, it's really just in that same area of love. And honestly, you know, if we learned how to love, we could just stop right here. Like, there's really nothing else that's needed. I'm remembering something that my mom, it's again one of these like little poems from one of the teachers from India. And she used to say this thing that, you know, this little poem used to say, you can read tons and tons and tons of books about sacred ideas, spirituality, you know, all of it. And then you could read, you could understand love, which in the Indian language is just like two words to say love, prem, which is just, you know, two letters. And that if you learn that, then you don't need all those books. So you don't need it, that love is that powerful. But what is it, the love that we're talking about? Okay, see, this is where it gets tricky, because we all have ideas of what love is. So from the attitudinal healing, the two principles that I thought were very interconnected was that I can either be a love finder or I can be a fault finder. So I can either be someone who's on the lookout for love, or I can be on the lookout for faults in myself, fault in the situation. And, you know, another word for that would be grievances with everything, with the weather, with the climate, you know, with my body, with what's happening in my life, with my career, with my finances, or I can look for love, okay? You know, and the other one that's very closely related is I can either hear someone that's expressing love, so that they're sharing love, or I can hear a call for love or for help. And again, that needs a little bit of explanation, but they're very connected, because, again, the egoic mind that's been used to this idea that I'm separate, you're separate, you know, we're sort of living our own lives and everything, and we got to be responsible for ourselves, and I got to take care of myself, and who will do that if I don't do it? You know, this sense of separation, and, you know, very sense of me, and myself, you know, me and what belongs to me is mine, and then what's yours. And we can see that at all levels, from, you know, just within ourselves, you know, we can feel a sense of separated from, you know, just within ourselves, we can feel a sense of fragmentation, like feeling very scattered, or, you know, definitely within relationships. So from that sense, it gets very complicated. We see someone is rejecting us, someone is hurting us, someone is anxious, someone is angry, someone is this way, someone is depressed, and so it gets very complicated. But what the attitudinal healing, you know, which draws from the ideas of A Course in Miracles, is really saying that it doesn't matter. You know, all of those things can distract us, but what we're really all here to do is reclaim that idea that the essence of my being is love, which was, I think that was like one of the first principles we talked about. The essence of my being is love. The essence of your being is love. The essence of everything is love. And so either I'm seeing it and I'm experiencing it, and that is what I'm wired to do. That is what really physiologically, if you look at all the studies that, you know, from, you know, any place you look at now that's coming out or that's in there, all speaks to this idea that that feels much more natural to us to be in that place. So that's where we want to go. So if we're not feeling it, then we want to acknowledge that there is a call for love. And the beautiful thing about that is that's even in ourselves. So it's not about, like, We got to love everyone. We got to love everyone. We got to get busy loving everyone. We start with first in ourselves. So if I'm out of sorts, if I'm anxious, if I'm tense, if I'm hurting in any way, that's a call for love. I'm asking for love. And if we can just stop ourselves when we feel that way, just acknowledge it. That's where I am. Now, what can happen is it's so tricky. Like, when we feel something, we want to find something that's causing it. It's very natural, right? It's very natural. And it's okay. You know, like if I'm stepping on something and it hurts, okay, I don't want to step on it. I want to be mindful. But when it comes to other things, like, you know, our interpersonal stuff and what's going on in life, and the mind is habituated to look for something outside to attribute that to, like it's caused by this, it's caused by that. And when it's something is like, okay, I've stepped on something, okay, that's a different, you know, we can do that. But it gets more tricky when we start to see that my mind, where my mind is caused by this. And we talked about the cause and effect, so then something is affecting me to feel this way, and so then I get busy trying to fix that. And so what if instead of doing that, I mean, it doesn't mean there may not be some action that needs to be taken or maybe something in the environment, you know, could be changed, but what if we just started to hear that and feel like, okay, this is asking for love. This is just asking for nurturing. This is asking for a moment, like Emma often shares with us, a pause. This is asking for just stop. You know, if you can imagine in your mind a stop sign, just stop. Let's just stop. Let me just regroup. This is what I'm feeling. And so that call for love, like if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling sad, if you're feeling angry, you know, if you're just whatever, it doesn't matter. You can feel, the feelings can be whatever they are. There's no need to censor them or hide them or, you know, suppress them. That actually won't be helpful. But it's just what interpretation can I give them? And so these ideas of attitudinal healing help you because they say we can simplify this. We can say it's either a call for love or you're feeling love. That's it. You really can't be any other place. So, or you can either be looking for love or you can be looking for a grievance. So in the beginning, I know our mind sometimes can resist it because at some level we like complexity. You know, the complexity of things, I feel, keeps it so we don't have to take a firm stand. We can sort of let things be and, you know, allow for a bit of this and a bit of that, and it's okay, you know, that's what it is. But when we get into, like I liked what Seema was saying, where she said she was very intentional. She used that word, intentional. And that is what the practice of attitudinal healing is. And she also said, you know, I became aware of what my attitude could do. And also, that's very empowering when you start to see that my attitude, how I step into a situation, can really, you know, affect the change. It can really affect someone to perhaps choose a different way. Now, we can't control them. It's not mind control. But we can open the door. We can open it and invite them. Whether they walk through or not, we can't control. But at the same time, we will have managed our state of mind and we've done our part. And at some point, you know, that they will have received it or whatever. And, you know, that will take its own course. So this practice of finding, looking for love or looking for grievance, and hearing a call for love or just seeing love, it's really, you know, another idea of being in the moment because this is the moment. Love is in this moment, you know, the love with a capital L. It's presence, it's awareness, it's being held in this place of just awareness and presence. And Emil, I think, had said last week that this is the only moment you have. You know, anything else, any other place. It's all fantasy. It's all illusion. And again, I'm you know, remembering what Seema said, that I'm not sure exactly how she said it, but our interpretation, like, what is my perception? So in the now is the only place you can see clearly, you know, only now. And when you get more adept at the practice, you can even take whatever ideas you have about someone and say, okay, I'm just going to bring this all into this moment. And, you know, and just put it on the altar in this moment. And that can be very, very powerful, because you're just releasing it. You're not going in there. You're not trying to figure it out. You're not trying to, he said, she said, they said, we said. You're just not there. You're just not there. You realize that that's fruitless. You know, someone's always going to be the guilty one. Someone's always not, you know, you're going to be in this place of someone has to be guilty for someone to be innocent. And it just, it doesn't work. After a while, your mind just, you know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. So that idea, like, what I love about these principles is they're so connected. So if you start practicing one, it connects to the other, it connects to the other, and then you realize it doesn't matter which aspect you do. It's some, you know, it's related to being in the now, looking for love, hearing the call for love, and really extending it to yourself, you know, first and foremost. I mean, really seeing this as, you know, not like I'm doing this for people, that I'm on this, like, mission now to love the world, you know? No, it's really, like, to know that I'm loved, to feel that, and to, and where is this love coming from, right? So it can't come from our egoic mind. It just can't. So it really requires you to dig deeper. It requires you to, like, you know, like Seema was saying, spending time in silence, spending time in prayer and meditation, and, you know, asking for it, you know, asking to be shown, show me that I am love, you know, show me love here, I don't see it. So it's a very inner process. It's very of an inner work. No one needs to know about it. We don't have to advertise it, but people feel it. You know, they feel it. And the beautiful thing is, like, if you're with someone and they're in an upsetting situation, you know, like a child or a spouse or a significant other or, you know, whatever, you can just go to that place. You can just say that whatever you're experiencing right now, you don't even have to say it to them. Whatever you're experiencing right now, I know that you're still love, that the truth of you is still love. But it's fine for this, you know, place that you are to have this experience of whatever you're having, you know. So it's a place that sets them free and also sets you free, because sometimes even the best words aren't helpful, you know. Someone's in a place that, you know, we could know all the right words and all of that. It's just not going to work. But our intention, our choice of where we want our mind to be can work. And they can receive it because we're all interconnected. So I am going to stop here, and I would love to hear what others have to say about this. Yeah, anyone can jump right in, whoever feels inspired.
I just have kind of, I guess, a question.
Yeah.
When you were talking about you're either a love finder or a fault finder.
Yeah.
Are you referring to, like, when you look at other people, or more internally, or it could be either or?
It could be either or.
'Cause I understand, like, love with a capital L is, like, your internal light or guide, And it makes sense when I think about it within myself. Like, I can either focus on my weaknesses or I can feel the love. But when it comes to other people, I know you could just look for the strengths versus the weaknesses, but I guess, are you kind of like looking for their inner guide as well when you're looking for love or looking to see love from other people?
Yeah, that's a beautiful question. Yeah.
That just is a harder concept for me. Like, you know, maybe it's someone where you're not feeling the love, you know, from a particular person. So it's, you know, the grievances are what are coming to the surface.
Yeah.
But as far as, I mean, I know the concept of like taking those grievances and putting them on the altar and trying to let those go, I guess that it's not until you do that that you can see the love of that particular person. Would you agree with that?
Exactly. You know, there's a line in A Course in Miracles. I mean, and Aiko and Emma can speak to this. There's so many lines around, you know, grievances. But, you know, grievances, they hide. They're like they hide the light. They just cover it over. They're like this dark, dark glass or, you know, just darkness. So it can get tricky because sometimes underneath the grievance, like when we're not seeing love in a person or in a situation, we can say that they're showing us aspects of ourselves too, you know. And so it gets tricky because what we're seeing in them is really something that is within us, you know, that they're bringing to the surface. So if they're not acting out of love, like you were saying that you're not receiving love from that person, is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you're not receiving love from that person, you're receiving maybe some judgment or, you know, maybe they're, I don't know, are you feeling judged or are you feeling, you know, neglected maybe? Or I'm not sure, like if you had to just define what you were feeling, what would you say in a couple of words?
I guess more neglected than judged.
Okay, yeah. So when we're feeling neglected, we still have to bring it back to us and say, I'm feeling a lack of love. I'm experiencing this call for love. Like, I am needing love. Now, we need to then go deeper and say, I want to feel that for myself. You know, like, I want to fill my own, like, you know, I don't know, I know Sharon and I, our kids are in the same school district, and I'm not sure, Sharon, if you had this with your kids, but I know when my son was younger, they had this idea of filling our buckets, like getting the buckets, some things fill the bucket, and, you know, kindness fills the bucket, they would teach them, and when you're not nice, that opens, you know, that empties the bucket, so are you filling the bucket? And it's a beautiful thing to teach kids, and what we can do for ourselves is, you know, how can I fill the bucket? How can I fill my own bucket? Because I'm feeling lack of love. So we can turn it around and say the neglect I'm feeling is I myself, like I'm owning it. When that person is acting this way, doing whatever they're doing, I perceive in myself a feeling of neglect. Now, that's very powerful if you can say that and mean it, if you can own it. Because already that assumes that you're just taking responsibility for your state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yeah, I mean it's work that like it's, you know, the attitudinal healing, it sometimes it can feel really difficult because it feels like you know, it's all about me, it's all about me, but it's not all about you in the sense that you're doing anything bad. It's more like you have this power, you know, you have this power. Like, I was having this idea that, like, we've all been born on this planet, and we had this memory of love, and we knew it. We knew we were love, and no one could question us, but we're in this collective amnesia, all of us, to different degrees. And some of us are waking up, and some of us are still sleeping, and some of us are half awake, and then most of us are like, you know, we talk about it, like, you know, we fall asleep, we wake up, we fall asleep, wake up. And I'm not talking about the 8 hours when we sleep. I'm talking about during the day that, you know, we forget. And so, you know, we keep looking for others to do this, others to do this. And, you know, the bottom line is that it's like we got to fall in love with life and ourselves. Like, that's what it's about. And then the love will just be there for us. We'll just see it everywhere because we see it in ourselves. You know, what we see inside, we're going to see outside. So it will just be that looking for love in yourself, acknowledging that you are needing love, you are not feeling love, you are feeling neglected. But maybe not looking to that person, letting that person just be where they are, and continuing that process of, you know, digging deeper and what helps you, and sharing that with people you feel comfortable with, and so on.
Seema?
Yeah.
I think it goes back to the fact. It goes back to what I was taught in philosophy, that at one time I had like an inferiority complex. And when I started going to philosophy, I was taught, and one of the things was that we had to stand in front of another classmate in the first classes we went to and say this one statement: I am pure, perfect, and complete. And that means to me that all the love you really need, although it's nice to get love from other people, but all the love you really need is the love you have for yourself. Because at other times, you'll be in the position of having an expectation. And when you have expectations, you're walking on thin ice, because at a lot of times in your life, the other person or the other thing that you expect will not happen, and things will happen in your life that will be unfortunate. And if you don't love yourself first and foremost, you'll be skating on thin ice and only looking for some kind of pain or suffering.
Yeah, that's powerful. So Emma, what would you say if in a relationship you have a situation where, it could be any relationship. Let's say it could be a sibling relationship, or it could be, you know, husband-wife or partner or anyone, father-son, anything like that. And one person is feeling love and the other person is not expressing it. You know, like, so one person feels love for that person, but the other person, for whatever reason, what would you say? Like, what would be a way to practice around that? Like, how would we look at that?
Well, I think it would go back to what happened between my son and myself.
Okay.
The fact that I could have felt that he was not showing me love and respect because he didn't call me the minute that I expected him to, and that was the kind of expectation I'm talking about. And I could have been very disappointed and very upset because he wasn't showing me the love and respect that I thought he should have. But instead, I just let it go and let the world take care of the love and respect that would come to me. And actually, it did come to me in the end result. And I didn't get upset and become and ruin my whole day thinking about why the love was not coming to me at that time. And I think that that's the way you have to treat all situations, because things in your life are at many times, if not all times, are beyond your control. And if you limit your happiness by saying, if this doesn't happen, or if that doesn't happen, or if I don't get this love from this person or that person or whatever at the time I want it, I'm going to be very unhappy and very disappointed. You can't look at it that way, because things are beyond your control. And actually, if you stop and think of it, things are actually beyond the control of any person in your life that you're expecting love from. So you have to look at it as a situation where they're on their path and you're on your path. And if you're, if things don't work out for you because they're on a different path or they're going a different direction, there's not much you can do about it except try and be happy with and love yourself.
So I just want to say one more question, and then I want to kind of open it. And Aiko, if you want to, give some feedback about this, or Emo, or Sima. So what about a situation, and you can speak to this too, Aiko, but what about a situation where, let's say you have a sense of estrangement from a person. Let's say that person, you know, it just isn't in your life anymore, or you don't have contact. Like the situation you said with your son, you know, he lived across from you, so you can you have access and all that. But let's say it's a situation, or a situation where someone is ending a relationship or something. You know, where it's going to be something where there might be separation, or like I said, there's an estrangement where, you know, people haven't spoken for a while, or one person wants to and the other person isn't in a space to communicate. How can we use these ideas in those situations? And maybe, I don't know, Aiko, do you want to speak to that?
Or? Sure. I think in that particular situation, in looking back in my past, I think really the relationship, in that relationship, you know, maybe the entire time, instead of really being connected and being loving, I was really driven by the fear of abandonment, or maybe, you know, not getting enough attention, or maybe he's not giving me the love that I wanted. And, you know, and that was what I felt inside of me. Mm-hmm. And so the end result was really the projection of, you know, how I felt, you know. So I'm seeing what was inside of me really play out through this person. But at the end of it, though, after the pain and the grief and all of that, through that experience, really something really happened afterwards, and I can't really attribute to anything other than to really ask for healing, you know. And you know, it's really the love. It was really the love that, despite the fact that I don't see him anymore, he's not here, you know, he's not in front of me anymore, I don't talk to him, but there's this tender, loving feeling that was left. And it didn't really matter whether I saw him anymore, or, you know, those kinds of details, so to speak, didn't matter anymore. And when that happened, it was really, that was the healing. That was the projection of, you know, how I really felt inside. And it didn't necessarily play out in a way that this person return to into my life or anything like that. But my life actually really changed after that. After that healing and realization that really I had nothing against the whole experience, you know, my relationship with him, and that I realized that I was misperceiving everything. My relationship overall changed. It became less conflicting. It became less needy. And I was more open to friendship and, you know, all of that. So to me, in the context of, like, an interpersonal, you know, romantic relationship, talking about that, I think that's what it means to me is if I'm feeling the lack, if I'm feeling the abandonment, the fear, all of that I'm going to see transposed into my relationship with other people, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So when you said, when you feel like that sense of loss or sense of abandonment or, you know, sense of like, you know, what is not love, right? It's not love or fear. Mm-hmm. So what mm-hmm. would your practice be? Like, what would you do? Like, can you share that? Because I think others might find that helpful.
Okay. Well, this is an example of my experience, and I don't know if it applies to anybody, but with this particular relationship that I'm thinking of, I was almost looking for reasons why I was feeling that way. You know,
okay.
So if I'm feeling like fearful or feeling insecure, I would look for reasons why in him rather than where is this feeling coming from. But, you know, I was relating my feeling to his attitude or behavior that caused it. And I think that's where the perception was, you know. I actually don't know, truthfully, what really happened, because I don't believe anymore the story that I believed in that time.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think, is that what you're asking? You know, I think I was acting maybe, because I'm looking for a fault, you know, because I'm seeing that. And so I would look for reasons why this was happening. So obviously I'm feeling like, okay, it must be him, that he must be doing something to cause me to feel it. So you know, I'm looking for that. So then I start seeing all these evidence, you know, all these things that he was doing. And, you know, and then I would react to that thought, and then he would then react to my behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of loop.
Yeah. So it sounds like what I'm hearing is you started to see that when you were experiencing a lack of love from him, in him, you really started to see that, no, this is really my own feelings of lack of love. It's really within me.
That was, you know, that's what happened afterwards, you know, after the relationship ended. And
okay.
then, you know, much practice of really mind practice. You know, I did the course lessons, daily lessons, and, you know, so this is an introspection of, you know, what might have occurred in the relationship. But at the time, no, I was all caught in the story. I looked for faults in him. And I couldn't find love at that time.
Okay.
But you know what? He doesn't have to be here with me to really feel the love.
Right.
That's another thing that I discovered, that the healing doesn't have to be with that person, like the body, you know, the his physical presence. I didn't need that necessarily.
Yeah. It sounds like you took kind of, you got to the point as you were doing the lessons, like you started to feel like the healing was for your own mind and your own, you know, for yourself to be healed.
Right. Yeah. Really.
Yeah.
And my need to really have that, not necessarily have him back or have a romantic relationship, but really needing to heal and to have love in my life, that became my focus.
Right, and that love, having that love in your life, it sounds like you didn't attach it to this person being in your life.
Right, because, you know, the funny thing, he was gone. So he wasn't coming back.
Right, so he wasn't there. Right.
Yeah, and so I still needed to heal, though, and I knew that. And I just, you know, practiced. And then later, you know, it took a while, but later I had this realization of, wow, I was wrong about the whole thing.
Okay. So that you realized that you had misperceptions, misinterpretations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so, that was pretty powerful what Echo shared. Does anyone want to say anything else to that? Or
could I make a statement?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that maybe in Aiko's case, she was projecting the fact that she didn't have enough love for herself on the love that was coming in from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a valid thought or whatever?
Yeah, I think interpersonal relationships, especially, partnership, husband, wife, romantic, or everyone, I mean, I shouldn't say just those, but yeah, they really are mirrors. They're powerful mirrors, and I agree, they show us what we really think. They really show us, and, you know, if we really can't see it, then it's just thoughts we've suppressed, but then, you know, our relationship will end or whatever, and like Aiko said, the healing happened afterwards, and only because, you know, she was open to it, she was asking for it, she was looking for it, you know, she was practicing. I mean, it was an active decision, but yeah, I agree.
And because she has, because by afterward, she had a different perception of what was happening because she said she had changed her mind about what really happened, and she had a different perception from like being involved in the Course in Miracles and all the different things that we do in the Course in Miracles and the other philosophies and wisdoms that we gain. That would probably be why she had a different perception, and she said, "Well, maybe it wasn't the same, the situation, the way I saw it wasn't the correct way to see it."
Yeah, and you raise a really important point. I'm glad you said that, Emil. It was coming to me also, like if we want to see this love, if we want to have this healing, then little by little by little, it you know, no one is here to force anyone, and we can't even really force ourselves, but it's the willingness to be to see things differently, the willingness to be wrong about what we're seeing, you know, just the willingness to say, okay, there may be a different way to see this. And really, the attitudinal healing, the practice of A Course in Miracles, again and again and again, it keeps challenging you to, you know, do you want to be peaceful? You know, what do you want to see? Would you want to see this differently? And it's kind of always asking us to be open, right? To be open. Yeah.
And it's always asking us to look within.
Right, to look within, but even looking within, sometimes what happens, I've experienced, and I think others too, is when we're in a lot of pain and it seems to be someone else is causing that pain, especially if a relationship is ending or, you know, looks like it's just not going to stay, it's so easy to project that pain on someone else because we're even afraid to even look inside because we think that's all we're going to find. So it's like pain outside, pain inside. And so gradually that's where it needs a lot of like support from, you know, either others outside or, you know, really call for love and healing inside, that you really have to almost like have that capacity to like, you know, go below it. Because like, you know, Aiko was talking about the pain and everything, but then eventually she was able to go deeper and, you know, have that experience of the real love, which doesn't even depend upon this relationship staying together, which is like amazing because, you know, most of the time we wouldn't say that. Now, that doesn't mean like a relationship has to end. You know, I'm not trying to say that. You know, but that, like, the healing can, you know, we have to kind of have that permission to go deeper beneath what appears to be the pain to be shown that love. And that can be, you know, it needs practice. You know, it requires skill and, like, a skillfulness. I don't mean, like, a skill, like, you know, a talent, but a certain skillfulness. And it's nurtured by others around us, like having a community of others support us, definitely.
And that's why they always say that those kind of, any kind of situation is a chance for learning. And that's why those situations come up in our life, so that we can learn from them.
Yes. If we give them that purpose,
yes.
If we give them the purpose of healing, they can help us. And that has to be. Okay, so we're actually at 10, but I want to just give a couple more minutes. I'm not sure if Mary or Sharon or Seema want to say anything.
No, I'm good at this time. Yeah, I just enjoyed the listening. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Sharon?
You know, I'm still... you know, some of these concepts are still challenging for me to, like, I know there's always more than one way to look at things, and, like, if I guess I just feel like there are certain circumstances where, like, if someone has done something to really hurt you, like, the whole concept of what's exterior is just a mirror of what is going on inside you.
Yeah.
On some level, I understand that, but I also think sometimes really crappy things happen that, you know, it's not necessarily a reflection of how a person feels. I don't know. I guess I'm not always seeing how it is always tied together.
Yeah, and I think it's okay to just see where we are, you know. We're all exactly where we need to be, opening and to these ideas the way we are. And there is a bit of discomfort that comes when the mind opens like that. It's unsettling sometimes. Some things we actively resist. But, you know, in the Course in Miracles, it even says that, you know, some ideas you're just totally going to want to throw out. You're just not going to want to hear them. And we've had talks, you know, myself and other people who study this, that, you know, sometimes you just want to throw the book out because you just don't want to go there. So it's all okay. And we just want to keep going where we are. So wherever we are is good, really. And the way the mind opens and what we accept and what we don't accept, I feel like the inner guide is in charge of it. And so we just allow that. And everyone's way is different. No one's right, no one's wrong. You know, it's all good. Okay? Mary, I'm sorry, Emma, I just wanted to check in with Mary. Was there anything you wanted to say?
I guess I just wanted to say that I've learned that the same lesson will keep coming until we get it. I've learned that myself.
Yeah.
What was that?
That
I didn't
Mary
hear.
Said, yeah.
The same. I'm going to keep, you know, I'm going to keep being challenged by the same lesson until I get it, until I learn it.
that the same lesson will come back again and again, mm-hmm. and yeah, until we learn
until
it.
Until I
and
get
of course,
it.
Yeah. Until you get it, yeah.
That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah. No, yeah. that's a good. That makes me feel better.
Okay. Okay. I'm
and
sorry,
eventually
Emily.
You get it, right?
Eventually, we sure hope so. We sure hope so. Yeah.
And I just wanted to say that you can't judge your progress by anyone else's progress. In our talks, like we have on the phone tonight, or in any of your other things, like in your Course of Miracles studies, or anything like that, you can't judge your progress by the progress of anyone else. Your path is your path. And their path is theirs, and they will see things the way they see things, and you will progress the way you progress. So
right.
if at times you can't get the concept that other people are talking about and it takes you a while longer to get it, or if maybe you never get it, it's perfectly all right.
Exactly. Yeah, and that can also happen when we start to practice. We start to forget sometimes. We can get so caught up that really, what is this for? This is for sharing love. And certainly if we start to judge each other on the same path for how we're practicing, then we're not practicing, you know, we're not, you know, we need to. And it can happen. It can happen. So, yeah, it's good, Emil, that you said that. That's perfect. Okay, so I think that really the practice is to continue what we've been talking about, you know, this idea of looking for love versus a grievance, being aware when we are seeing a grievance, stopping, asking for help that we want to see differently. We don't know what that differently is, but we're willing, we're open. And, you know, again, remembering that call for love to honor it for ourselves too, you know, just to keep remembering that, you know, to be receiving that love and flowing it. And so, you know, really that either we're sharing the call for love or we're seeing an expression of love. And really just invoking our, you know, this inner wisdom to keep guiding our path, you know, just to keep doing that. And practice, you know, again, like Simo had shared when we opened the talk, you know, practice with the relationships that are around you and do it in a way that is not overwhelming, you know. So there are 6 billion people on the planet, right? We don't have to love all 6 billion of them. You know, if we can just fully love one person in front of us, I had this realization, if we can really fully do that, we can do it for everyone. Like there's something around fully being present, you know, in one moment that can just extend. So I totally believe, like, wherever we are, whoever's our teachers, they're on our path, we know who they are, and, you know, just practice it and do it in a way that doesn't overwhelm you, you know, trust your, like Emma was saying, you know, wherever we are, trust where we are, and we get what we get, and there's no strain. If we're straining, again, you know, that can, I know for myself, I have to look at that, you know, because it's so easy to fall into it. So, you know, be mindful of that, to keep it very gentle, and to be loving, right? This is all about love. So keep remembering that, you know. All right, so we'll check in, you know, next week, and we'll just continue, and maybe we can share from our week what our experience was like. Okay?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, everyone. Good night, Emil. Good night, everyone.